you because they're your family. And I hate being teased by my family. But I keep getting it. They don't stop. I can go out of the country, out of a state, and they'll still find me somewhere. And do things deliberately to hurt my feelings and to make me feel bad. And all the sympathy I get from some people and from others I don't. And if you walk with them long enough, you'll learn to love the pain and know it's their version of love. Tough love, they call it some, and some call it just being themselves. And they can be cruel at times, but you can't take it serious. You go home and cry on your pillow, but don't let them see you cry. It's rough on you on the exterior, but when you're in front of them, you've always got to smile. Take it like a man or a woman. Tough skin, he calls it. You see how we already prepared? I wasn't prepared for the roughness, and it was hard. And I prayed for them, but they didn't change. So now I know God left them the way they are just for me. I thought that was mean, but that shows me I have to change. I have to learn to take the pokes and the jabs. Oh, I hate it. I was so mad one time when I was a little boy. I actually ran underneath. If you could imagine someone, this tall, scrawny little kid running underneath the bed. How do you do that? You get down real low, and the bed was this much space. And I got underneath that bed, and I was so mad at my brother, I wrote him a note. I said, "You punk." I slid it out there to him. He read it. He said, "You can't even spell punk." I said, "Oh, it just made it worse." It's like the humiliation. But God has given me the grace that I've needed in this church to endure in my new family. It's hard. And some of you are still laughing. I wish you would have more compassion for my sorrows and my pains. But that being said, let's all stand. I had to get that off my chest because some people, when I'm preaching, I don't want to say nothing that I shouldn't say. I don't want to point at nobody I shouldn't point at. Nevertheless, that's all done now. Take a deep breath. Let the guilt go away. Be nice to Brother Murray. Okay. Right. Oh, my. There is something, in a serious note, God will not let me get away from this because anything he wants me to get, he makes me experience it. So, am I my brother's keeper is what the title of this message is, too. Because I have to understand that, and there's perhaps some parts of it I don't understand. I hope when this lesson's over that we have a clearer view of what it means to be someone else's keeper. Did you know Abel means keeper? See, God has a plan in everything he does. The very one that was killed was the very one that was to be a keeper. Sometimes when you destroy each other, you're destroying something that God meant to keep. That's why you got to be careful of the reputation. You got to be careful what you say about people, because God may have said, but they're a keeper. They're somebody I want to keep. I've kept my eye on them. I wanted something that I wanted to do something in their lives that you perhaps don't see right now, but I'm working. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians 6, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, I believe. Yes, 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Thank you for the amens. Amen. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. A spirit of meekness. Amen. Considering thyself, lest thou be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love. So if we're to walk in love, we are going to keep our brothers. And as someone said last week, or I believe it was said, even the devil can't have my enemies.
That's right.
Because they don't have to remain our enemies.
That's right.
They can be redeemed.
Right. Yes.
They can be changed.
Yes.
They can be transformed, because at some point I was someone's enemy.
That's right.
Let's lift up our hands together and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever you desire to deposit in this body, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your anointing flow upon your people, upon the word of God as it goes forth in power and demonstration of your spirit. Lord, let no that which is done, let it be done to the edifying of this body in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, as I said before, I'm going to repeat again. Whenever I don't get something, God is gracious enough to repeat it as many times as necessary in order for me to get it. There was a man that I didn't know personally, but I heard of this testimony. He was in a service. He was a Greek-speaking gentleman. He came from Greece. He came to the United States. He happened to come into an apostolic church, and he has just started learning the English language. And the most powerful thing to me is how God desires to reach each and every one of us. So this man, as the whole service is being preached by an English-speaking pastor, he finishes the message, and it just so happens that man who is Greek walks up to the altar, and he kneels down, and he says, God, would you help me to understand the message that was preached? And there comes a young lady, not knowing the man sitting or placed at the altar, and begins to speak in another tongue. But she is speaking, she's speaking in his native tongue. And he understands it very clearly, and he's looking up at her with amazement, because she is speaking his tongue from his country. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God is trying to reach you. That's how much, shatala mahasaya, he wants to involve himself in your life in such a way that he can save you. And some of you don't understand the love of God yet, but keep coming. I'm just saying this to encourage you. Keep coming, because there are things that God is allowing you to go through while you're here so that he can change you. You see, you have to come and feel like there's a love of God that will be shed abroad in your heart, but you also have to start believing and being under, how can I say this, the covering of the word of God, of the people of God. Because, see, without you asking, people are already praying for you. Without you going to someone and say, will you please pray for me? You don't have to do that here, because we have his spirit, and his spirit will lay you upon their hearts, and they will begin to pray, and God will begin to move. I say that with confidence, because I've heard it over and over and over again. Even when you don't know somebody, God will cause you to look at them and say, feel something in your spirit. That's an indication that the spirit of God wants you to pray for that person. And you might say, well, I don't know them. It's better when you don't. It's better when God is initiating you to pray for someone so that you don't go to them with prejudice. The least you know, the better off you are sometimes. Because he knows what his will is. And I get so pricked at my heart sometimes when I hear people talk about what God has done through them. I heard Sister November's testimony earlier, just a portion of it. And when I heard it, what pricked my heart was, he says, all this week, I'm going to pray and fast for that woman. I can't tell you how many people I've met that I didn't feel a burden or a desire to pray and fast for them until they got it. You see, that what I'm trying to show you is sometimes where you are, you need to hear other people's testimonies so that you can do more. See, when you understand that sometimes we do things as our own response, and it's not necessarily God's response. So when you hear a testimony about someone going a little further than you would have gone, you say, maybe I should adopt her way of doing it. Maybe I should do it her way, because she's in the body. And when we start all walking together like that, everybody says, okay, there's a burden here. I'm going to start praying for it. Not just for my burden. Not just for what's going on in my life. Not just where I'm hurting. Because I am my brother's keeper. And so what God is, see, later on in this message, you're going to hear a part where God says he will prove you. Sometimes the needs in the body aren't because there's so many needs. It's because he wants to see what you're going to do with them. How are you going to respond when someone has a need? Someone you don't know. Someone that you're not familiar with. What are you going to do with the burdens that God places on your heart? And you're like, I feel something. And then you get home and says, well, I still got to eat my dinner. I've got to fix my, I got to take care of my family. I got to do all these other things and neglect the very thing that God put on your heart for. You got to be careful not to neglect the things of God. Because what happens is you become stagnant. Because if the unctions of the Holy Ghost don't move you, what's going to move you? If he can't speak to you on your job, where else is your field? There's places that he wants, that he takes you, and you go by familiar places, and he's wanting you to minister to people, but you feel afraid. It's time to stop being afraid. Because we already know that we have the knowledge. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So why are we walking in it? So what I'm trying to say to you is that when you feel something that is contrary in your spirit, that's when you need to go into warfare for yourself. Because if the Bible says that fear is a snare to any man. So what that's saying is that if you're walking in fear and you're constantly saying, Lord, I can't speak to this person, or Lord, I can't lay hands on this person, or Lord, I can't do this, if you're constantly saying you can't, you're in a snare. And that snare, that fear keeps you. Even when you sit in the congregation and you feel like you can't get up and go to the altar. Oh, I don't know what they're going to, I don't want those people praying over me. Really? You can ask people, especially me, I'll pray for you, but you can say, don't lay hands on me, Brother Murray. I'll be like, So? Then why don't you just pray for yourself? But no, I say I'm my brother's keeper. I can't get an attitude when I'm up here, right? I can't treat you any different than anyone else. But there have been times when some of you come up here and the Lord told me not to pray for you. And I hope you don't get offended by that. The whole thing, the whole part of it, he told me, he said, you can't pray for them because you don't have authority over that spirit that's walking in their lives. I said, really? Ooh, okay. Because sometimes if you haven't overcome, something's going to overcome you. Being sensitive to God's spirit in this season is so important because he wants to give you victory and not keep you in bondage. He wants you to be able to walk in the midst of his people and be sensitive enough. I'm going back to the scripture we read of Galatians 6. It says, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, sometimes it won't be what you see them do. It's something you'll feel in your spirit that they have done. I have been in some precarious, is that the right word I want to use? Places where I have been in sin before. I sat in a vehicle next to a woman that was one of my sisters. What? Recently, the head came up real quick. I'm sorry, I just noticed that. She went, what? Sitting next to her, and she said, something in this vehicle is not clean. I was like, Lord have mercy. I'm scared of the Holy Ghost. Because I don't care how long you've walked with God. I don't care how long you've been in this walk with God. I don't care how much you know about God. God will expose you. And the thing that really helped me, she said, but Brother Murray, it's not you, but it's something you have in this vehicle that's unclean. I was like, you know, you get nervous, back gets sweaty. You're like, ooh. You see, I've been caught a lot of times, church. I'm trying to tell you this so that when you say revival's coming, it's just going to be all this. It's not all this. It's exposure. He takes it off. He uncovers you so that others can see what's in the body. Because he doesn't want anything, no darkness in here. So he will uncover you, not to embarrass you, but to set you free.
That's right.
I was on the phone with a sister one time, and she said, Brother Murray, would you pray for me? And I, in my mind, I did not say it. I said, oh, my God, I don't feel like praying for this lady. And she said, Brother Murray. I was like, he told you what I said? I was so embarrassed. And you go to church, you see them again, look. It was, oh, I was so embarrassed. Like, Lord, no, you didn't. You just put me out like that. You literally let her hear in her mind what I said? That is cruel. I was like, oh, that is so mean. I pouted for a few days, and she looked at me so cross-eyed the next time I saw her. Like, she said, if you didn't want to pray, you just said you didn't want to pray. I was like, I didn't mean to. Oh, my God. This is those times when you don't know that God will, he will expose you. This is inappropriate for some. There's no kids in here. But I was full of the Holy Ghost, but also full of lust. And I said something in my mind, and this woman turns around and says, Brother Murray. I said, oh, my God, you too? Why does the Lord keep doing this? Because he doesn't want any darkness in you. He doesn't want anything that's not like him. He doesn't want you to feel defeated when your enemy comes. You have to be able to say, there's nothing in me that he can tap into. There's nothing that he can touch because I've closed all these doors. I've shut all these things down. So nothing comes out of my mouth, nor where my eyes travel to places they ought not to be. That was one of the most embarrassing things, sister. I'm talking to you right now. So it was embarrassing. Because all I said in my mind, he had a very beautiful wife, and I said, man, I bet he really enjoys her. That's all I said. And she was walking away from me, and she turned around. Brother Murray. And I was like, I didn't say it out loud. I'm telling you, brothers, God's not playing with us. He doesn't play with lust. He doesn't pray with you. Look, he doesn't play with you looking at another man's wife and lusting after her. Or if you think he enjoys her. That's not godly. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, my God. I wish I could have just melted in that moment. So you need to understand that I'm telling you these things. And I'm not afraid to expose the fact that you can have the Holy Ghost and you still have desires. But you have to bring them under the rule of God's Spirit so that you don't corrupt what's in this body. If I'm sitting next to my brother and I'm looking at the posterior of another woman and I'm like looking at him, he's looking at me, and we kind of like glancing together, that's not godly. It's not godly for me to speak in an ungodly way about another man's wife or a sister in this church because they are my sisters. They're my sisters. And if I begin to speak or to talk about them in an ungodly way, that means that there's a spirit of perversion that's working in my life. You need to be very clear about this. God is not playing. Because, see, what you do, you'll teach another. If I think it's okay to talk to any woman in this church any kind of way or be hugging up on them any kind of way. Some of you was, I had this one sister before. She said, why don't you hug me front to front? I said, because my front don't need to be yours. I can't believe she questioned me. I do side hugs. There's a real reason why I do that. Because I don't want lust to be in my heart towards you. Let's be real for a minute. Because, see, I don't want to struggle. I don't want to walk away from you having feelings that are ungodly. I have to walk in the Holy Ghost. How can I pray for somebody if I'm lusting for them? See, the enemy comes in like a spirit, and he can cause you. I've been with women all my walk with God, and that's why I can tell you this. I know when it's God, and I know when it's not. And it was so crazy. This woman was actually in a service, not in a service, but in a prayer meeting, and she was contemplating suicide. And when I got this close to her, I started feeling lust. I said, wait a minute. I know her. I have no desire for her. She's a sister in the Lord. And then I knew it was a spirit. And I had to rebuke the spirit before I could cast out the spirit of suicide. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that the enemy tempts you in every situation, and you have to be aware of it. Because he's not playing, and neither is God. When you slip up, you know how to say something. Lord, I'm sorry I looked at my sister the wrong way. I'm sorry I had these feelings. See, some of you don't understand that the church we came out of, no one hugged each other. But now we're in a church where people openly hug each other, and you may not have any intentions, but you got to check other people's intentions. Stop playing like you don't know what effect you can have on somebody else. The women in this church are attractive. One amen. Rest of you said, I don't need you to tell me that, Brother Murray. I'm already there. But you got to understand, the men out there that are coming in this church are going to think you're attractive as well. So you better know how to put the brakes on. You got to know how to keep your distance. You got to know not to put out those feelings and those thoughts and looking pitiful. When you need help from anybody in this church, I don't care how long they've been in church or how short they've been in church, you need to pray for them first. Pray if God wants you to join yourself to them. See, you got to understand, if my brother came to me and said, Brother Murray, I know you do construction, could you come to my house? He ought to have prayed first before he even asked me. Because God knows what kind of work I do. God knows if it's reliable. God knows it's going to be finished. God knows. And he'll say no, and you'll be like, wow, God said no. I think Brother Steve needed some work done in his house one time. And I was like walking around like, pick me. I can use the extra money. Pick me. And Brother Steve didn't even look my way. I said, don't he know? I know how to do construction. But he knows also Brother Murray's gotten old. He don't work as fast as he used to. And he don't like to work as much as he used to. And he doesn't like, sometimes he don't finish what he starts. I'm just being honest. I'm just being transparent for a second. Because, see, sometimes I try to help people more than I should. And it wasn't until I came to this church where my pastor said, Brother Murray, don't do anything for me unless God tells you it's okay. I have a servant's heart, and you have to be careful. You need to be around people that understand your gifting and your anointing, because if you are a servant, you got to understand that sometimes you'll serve people out of God's will. Can't do it. You got to pray about everything you do. We ought to be a praying church. The Bible says that my house shall be called a house of, but we're not doing enough of it, because it would keep us out of certain situations. It would keep us from joining people. There's some things that have happened in this body already because someone didn't pray first. It's a good deal. No, you pray first. It's cheaper. No, you pray first. Oh, they're my brother. I don't care what you call them. The heart is what God sees. And their heart may not be right in that season. And you might join yourself to them and get yourself in all kinds of trouble because of your heart wanting to help somebody out of God's timing and not in his will. So then you suffer, and then you get mad, and then you don't want to go to church with them no more. Shut it down. Proceed with caution. If you were to go with me on my job, there are a lot of cautions on my job. There was a man who was not an electrician. He goes up in the ceiling of the building, in the roof. This is just a drop ceiling just like this one. It was near a cavern where they keep the elevators. He gets on the ladder. He has an assistant that doesn't know what to do. He's just assisting him. He's standing there right next to the stairs, next to the ladder. The contractor climbs up the ladder without being cautious. He touches these wires, and he begins to just shake and tremble on that ladder. He kicked the ladder away. He fell out of that hole in the ceiling down to the ground, and a spark went through his arm, and came out his elbow. You can still see the scorch marks of the burn on his arm. He could not move. He lay there, and his assistant just stood there, not knowing what to do, didn't know how to turn off the power, didn't know how to knock him away from the power source, didn't know just to call 911. He didn't know what to do because he had not been trained. Some of you have not been trained how to walk in relationships. And that's something that's going to change here. I feel it coming. You're going to learn to walk with each other in unity, not in this independent kind of stuff, because all it does is divide a body. And God wants you to learn to see, if you haven't, you've heard it, but you haven't practiced it. You've heard to pray, but you don't practice praying. You've heard to worship, but you don't practice worshiping in your home. You've heard to do the Bible studies, but once you're done with yours, you don't think that you have to be prepared for the next one. You've heard these things. That's your knowledge. But the wisdom says you should be preparing for the next Bible study. You should keep up on it. You should be ready. Have you had a Bible study yet, brother? Thank you. You see, that shouldn't happen. That should not happen when somebody comes in. That should be the first thing that happens. Is someone should be getting to know them. Someone should be teaching them a Bible study. Someone should have befriended them by now. Not the people that already know him. Not the people that invited him. It should have already happened. Because, see, you don't know what they're going through in their lives. And if the Bible study helped you, wouldn't it help them as well? Would you guys like a Bible study? See, if you don't have a hunger, if you don't have a desire to see people's lives change, 30 people can walk in here and they'll walk right back out the same. Because it's not a desire to see other people saved and delivered and set free. Because what God shows you is that sometimes we can focus on our own needs and forget the needs of others. Are you my keeper? Are you? Are you really looking out for me? I've had some powerful words in this church since in the time that I've been here. Let's tell the truth, right? But just recently, and I was sharing this with this earlier, was that God made me experience what it was like to be on your side. You see, when I came into the church, it was always coming from me as far as God speaking a word to me and me speaking to the congregation, right? Or to the church or to individuals in the church. And I was okay with that. But then he said, I'm going to switch it now. Now what you, how you have ministered, others are going to minister back to you. And I said, what? Stop that. That's a word she gave me a long time. It's your turn. I said, no, it's not. I like being on the giving outside. It's better to give than to receive. True? No. Is anyone saying true? It's better to give. But when it comes to me, I'm like, what is this word that thou speakest? Why are you talking to me like this? And I'll tell you this. If I have confronted you with this word, I said, I don't care how long you think I've been in the Lord. If you have a word for me, you better tell me. Don't rob people because of who you think they are. Because remember, you look on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart every time. He sees the heart. So these people filled with the Holy Ghost invaded my life. They would call me up even when I didn't call them. I was not in my prayer closet saying, Lord, I'm hurting and I want somebody to call me. I never did that. But here they go. Smartphones. And they call me up and they ask me, how you doing, brother? How come you're ignoring my call? Because I don't mind hiding. Even though you... Stop looking at me. See, even though I don't mind hiding, because sometimes I don't want to feel the emotions. I don't want to go through that, that roller coaster. I don't want to sit there and condemn myself. I don't want to feel the pain of it. I don't want to go revisit the old. I don't want to do any of that. But then the Lord shows you, if you haven't dealt with it then and you don't want to deal with it now, when? Okay. So this woman calls me up, and she says, this is not like you. John had taught me this a long time ago. He said, for my personality type, when we withdraw, something's wrong. I remember, I could hear it in my head. John, then be quiet. He wasn't even in the same room with me. Oh, shush. Stop. I'm hiding right now. I'm going through something, and I feel like I got to go through it on my own. But then you get in the pulpit. You guys ought to share with everybody what's going on in your life. Stop hiding. But I can hide.
I should have worn my greener suit so I can match it with the wall. And see, as I'm hiding, these phone calls keep coming. And she called me one day, and she didn't give up. I said, dang, why don't she know I'm busy? I found one time I was so happy she called me, and we were in an IRS shop, at H&R Block. And I said, I had an excuse. Oh, I was so happy. She called me. I said, sister, I'm sorry. I can't talk right now. Me and my wife are doing our taxes. Click. I was getting away from the thing that she was trying to confront what I was running from. And I didn't want it. I kept running. And then she calls me again at home. And I said, I don't like to cry in front of my wife, so I'm not going to talk to her. So I didn't answer the phone. I said, Brother Murray, you are so childish.
Mm-hmm.
So then she calls me on the bus. And I said, gosh. This is like the fourth time she's called. I got to answer it once. I just picked it up too quick. Oh, Brother Murray, you're there. I said, yeah, I'm here. But sister, I'm on a bus. I don't care. But sister, I'm riding home right now, and there's a lot of people on this bus. Four or five. There's a lot of people on this bus, and I don't want to be loud and rude. I don't want to be interrupted. I want to really hear what you got to say. She said, Brother Murray, stop lying. I'm just calling to see if I did something to offend you. Oh, that's why you've been calling? I was hiding from the wrong stuff. I thought you were going to start getting in my business. Where's Sister Yolanda at? Oh. Oh, my God. She was here. See? When people say, I hear voices, it's y'all's voices. Oh, I hate it. Oh, I'm right here. She was so proud to say that. I'm right here. Stop loving me. Stop getting in my head. Stop being my family. Stop doing all that. Just mind your own. So I'm hiding from this sister. She gets on the phone. She says, Brother, I can see you don't want to talk. I don't want to cry. I'm on the bus. I got to get home. So she says, I'll wait. I get off the bus, and she starts talking. She says, Brother, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray for you? That's when I really get scared. Because, see, I know she hears from God. I know none of you guys ever do this. Y'all don't worry about when someone calls you and it says they're concerned about you. I know you don't do that. You don't hide from the calls, right? I just know you don't. That's just me. And so she started praying, and she is a prophetic woman who has the Holy Ghost for many years, and when she ministers to you, she really does go deep. And when she starts going deep, that's when I start going, ow, ow, ow. But, you know, after the pain, just like when you go to the dentist, you get your teeth pulled, the ones that are giving you problems, and the teeth are gone, and you start healing, you start feeling better. I didn't know I was under some oppression. There were things going on in my life that I didn't know was going on. And that's why the Bible says that God is the one that searches the heart. And when he searches the heart, he'll reveal to someone that they need you and that you need them. And so they will call you up and say, how's everything going? And I was like, oh, I feel so exposed. But when she began to pray, I started feeling the liberty. She started praying for angels to come. And, you know, it's really strange when somebody says, I'm praying, and then I'm seeing the angels come around you. I'm like, why do I feel lighter? I was walking, getting off the bus like this, and she starts praying for me. I start walking upright like, whoa, this is all right. What's going on here? Because someone that had the Holy Ghost had enough persistence to keep praying and keep seeking God and did not stop until I got better. So I get home, and my wife's in the house, and I'm on the phone with this young lady. I'm like, well, do I go inside? Do I keep walking down the street? It's raining, but I don't want her to see me crying because I don't want to explain all the details of what we just talked about and all the things that God's revealed to this young lady about my life, and I don't want to go there, so I'm going to keep walking in the rain. I'm going to keep crying, and when it's all done, I'm going to go inside the house and smile. Like everything's okay. But it wasn't so bad until the next person called.
two in one day? Why would you show me so much concern for Brother Murray? What did you see that I didn't see myself? What are you looking at? Oh, I got to remember, you're an intercessor. And when you called and asked to pray for me, and you prayed for me, and you start praying over the things that I wasn't praying about, that's where I started feeling real vulnerable. That's when I realized that somewhere along the line, I dropped the ball. You see, when you're your brother's keeper, you have to pray that they keep doing what they're supposed to be doing as well. You see, if pastor and pastor's wife stop praying, you can only do so much for them. You can pray for them, yes. You can pray that they're encouraged. You can pray that they begin to see the things they've been praying over for this congregation. You can pray those things. But if they didn't have a prayer life, they wouldn't be where they are. God could not have entrusted them with you if they wouldn't pray. So some of us like, oh, I can't wait till this ministry gets started. But are you going to be a praying ministry? Or are you just going to be a ministry because you have a title or the gift? Are you going to be a shell of something and not the real thing? Because he always works inside out. So I owe you an apology for not keeping up the bargain. Because see, when I lack, when I say lack in taking responsibility for the Holy Ghost that I have had for so many years and praying and reading the Word of God as much as I should, when I start slacking, it affects you. It affects the ministry. So I haven't been a good keeper of my brothers. No bigger concern than when you give a word and you wonder, is it going to really happen? You see, the giftings of God are without repentance. So he gives you gifts not for you, but for the body. Can I say that again? When God gives you a gift, it's not for your benefit. It's so that you can be a benefit to the body. But if you're not walking in your gifting because you're afraid, because you don't understand, because you won't ask questions, because you won't seek counsel, that's all on you. And if you leave yourself in that place, I don't know how to say it. It's depleting to the body. It takes something from it rather than giving to it. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault is something that causes you to be judged or corrected by other people. If they recognize you to have done something and you are the one that caused it, or you're the one that's responsible for it, it's like a crime. Something wrong in the body. So it says, brethren, if any of you are overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Now, meekness is when you have the power or the ability to do harm and you choose not to. That's just one definition. That's not the only. And God wants us to be able to restore, but Lord, what if it's the man or woman that's in my house? You see, you can't just practice meekness in the church. You have to practice it in your home as well, understanding that this person could have or is overtaken, not just by a spirit, just by the old ways that they've never dealt with. And so, what God is asking us to be is patient with one another. Amen? And there is no person in this church that God has asked to be patient that has not suffered along with it. If God has asked you to be patient for someone else's sake, you are suffering in some way, shape, or form. Suffering because you see where God wants to go and the other person doesn't. And it's just like, I've seen what I believe was our pastor and his wife suffering, not in the sense of when will they grow up? When will they take this serious? When will they love God? And it's not to brag on them as much as we do. It's not a comparison. It's just that when you fall in love with God, they'll see the change in you. It's immediate. And you become useful to the body. Amen. But if you're still standing on the outside, looking in at the church rather than being a part of the church, you're a deficiency. You're not allowing God to do everything he wants to do. Some of us sit in this
in the service knowing that we should be in the Sunday school classrooms because we're selfish. It's just, I like being fed. I like to eat, brother. As skinny as I am, I love to eat. Pastor Marquise goes places with me at times, and he says, I know what he's going to get. I hate it when he does that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get it just because you said it. And I'm just enjoying it the whole time, happy as I can be. I love to eat, but sometimes when we eat spiritual things, we keep eating it, and we keep eating it, but we're not changing. And if you're not changing and you're not growing, all you're doing is becoming fat on the word. And see, when you get fat on the word, at some point, you still don't move. I've seen people that are obese, and I'm not saying this in disrespect to anyone, but when someone's obese, it puts a lot of pressure and weight on their joints and on their entire body. And because of that, they can't even move or do things that they want to do because they're so full of the word. They know so much that they discount another word coming to them. See, when you didn't know anything and you came into the church, I can't tell you how many times people came back to me and said, well, I heard this from people saying, did so-and-so tell him all my business? I don't know your business. I don't even want to know. But when God reveals something by his spirit, that's the indicate to you that God's in our midst. That's all it's for. It's not to glorify the person who said it. It's to help you understand that God is in the midst of his people. And he wants the best for you in every situation. Man, I remember my mom was going through dementia. And I was so grateful. Reese's mom had a burden for my mom. And she said, I prayed. And I said, what did you pray? Because I wanted my mom to be free from that. She says, I prayed that her mind would be lucid. I said, I never thought about that. I never knew that what the word lucid meant. I had to go look it up. And I said, oh, wow, that your thoughts will be clear. And, you know, I saw a difference in her when her mom was praying for mine. So your answers sometimes are just in the body. There's answers here. Not in, how can I say it, not in the individual, but in the God that's in the individual. And if you come together in agreement and pray for things, God will do miraculous things because you come together in agreement and you allowed him to move by his spirit. Because he says it, he promises you, if two agree is touching any one thing, they shall have what they ask for. Then why are we lacking anything? He said it, and he's not a man that he should lie. Some of you are in circumstances that you want to change, and sometimes you're with people when you feel like you're on your own. But you got to understand, if you can't find the person next to you to agree with him and begin to proclaim. One of the things that really bothered me was that wasn't the first time that woman called me. The first time she called me, she said, brother, there's a spirit in your house. There's a spirit in my house, and you're in another state. How did you know that? How did you know that something was taken rampant, being rampant in our presence, and we were allowing it to happen? And see, when you get weary and tired and you have the Holy Ghost, you need to have other people come alongside you and begin to pray for you. And see, you might not say, I'm tired. You may not say, I've had enough. You may not say that I'm weak right now. You might not say it, but God knows it. And you better pray to God that he has someone that's sensitive enough to pray for you. And then the question that bothered me more than it, he says, is why are you allowing this? You see, I want to call you out, you that have the Holy Ghost. Why are you allowing some of this stuff to go on? Because nothing can come against you unless you allow it. If he says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, if he says no weapon formed against you will prosper, why are they? Because you're allowing it. Why are you depressed? Why are you unhappy? Why are you selling for less? Because you allow it. You're just allowing the enemy. You're just allowing him. And when you and God looks at you, it's like, why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you not fighting back? Why are you acting like this?
Why aren't you engaging? Why don't you pick up your sword?
And she said, Brother Murray, it's in your mouth. You won't pray. You won't worship. You won't give God your all when you're worshiping him. You allow the enemy to cause you to hide. Get up. Get up and fight. I can't do it for you. I can only do so much. But it's in your mouth, and you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to fight. You know when it's gone. You just come against it in Jesus' name. And you take authority over it in Jesus' name. And stop allowing it to just happen and dwell in your presence as though it has a right to be there. Jesus.
The Lord just showed me something, brother. Where you go, there are things that are happening in the spirit that you feel that you fight against all the time. The Lord said, you go there earlier and you pray first before you enter that realm, and he will give you victory. He will give you victory. He will. He will. Don't sit back on the devil, because he doesn't play fair. He takes no breaks. He doesn't let up. I don't say this to be malicious. I don't care what you're going through, because I know God is greater. I don't care how big you've made your giant. I don't care how big you've made your mountain. I don't care how you feel like you don't have the ability to do it. I don't care about how you feel about yourself or your circumstances or your situation when we serve a God like we serve that can do anything. But you've got to believe it. And stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Guess what? I won't feel sorry for you. I can't. I'll watch you go through it if you choose to. And I can't help you. That's why when you get on a plane and they tell you, whenever that little air thing drops down, fix yourself first. Get your oxygen. I'm telling you, church, get your oxygen. Get what you need to survive this walk with God. Get what you need. Now, don't look around. Don't look to the right. You stay right here. And you, when that thing drops down in front of you, you put it on your face first before you try to help somebody else. That's the instruction. Help yourself first. You might say, but that sounds selfish. It's not selfish if you're drowning. It's not selfish if you're not getting a hold of God. It's not selfish if you don't feel his presence. It's not selfish if you don't have his spirit yet. You have to put everything else aside and get what God wants you to have. Because if you have an excuse, you have nothing. Let's all stand. If there's an excuse in your mouth, you have nothing. Nothing that will stand against the truth. Because everything that we, our old pastor used to say, if you have a lie is a skin of reason. Three or more lies. It's your reasoning and your lies working together to defeat you. Choose differently. We'll keep praying. We'll keep seeking God. We'll keep believing God. But you have to fight.
That's right. That's right.
In your home.
That's right.
You have to fight when you come to church. You have to fight before you go into your job. Because everything I wasn't doing was pointed out by an intercessor. And they always seem to call at the right time. Lose your phones. Just kidding. Don't lose your phones. I'm still glad I got lifelines. I am serious, church. I am so serious. They don't stop calling because they don't know how to give up. And they don't feel sorry for you. They tell you to get in line. And see, I love it. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's go. Can't run when someone's dragging their feet. Father, let's lift up our hands together, if you will. Let there be a shift in the spirit, oh God. A shift in our mindsets that we would desire the things of God.
that we would understand, yes, I am my brother's keeper, and you've placed me in this body, but I can't neglect myself to help someone else. I can't neglect what you're doing in my life to pretend as though I care about other people's more than I care about myself. What I'm doing, Lord, is I'm saying that they are more value than I am, and that's a wrong kind of mindset to have. I have to say, Lord, I'm important too, and I have to walk with you in a way that's pleasing in your sight. And when I begin to walk that way, then I have the strength and the ability to help someone else. But until I become responsible, until I stop looking around for others to be an example, but I become the example, when I stop relying on those around me to be different or to be there for me, but I need to be there for them as well, when I grow up into grace and knowledge of him, no more excuses. He said, if my word abides in you, and you abide in my word. We've got to abide in him, church. We can't do it without him. The Bible says, without him, I could do nothing. So we're going to always be faced with situations. We're going to always be faced with circumstances. We're always going to be faced with trials. We're always going to be faced with tests. But in him, you have strength. In him, he says, I have given you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you have his spirit, stop laying down your sword. Stop laying down your worship. Stop making excuses and dig in and fight for what you need. Fight for it. Fight for your promises. Fight for your promises. Fight for your promises. Fight for your promises. Stay in his presence. Fight for your promises. Fight for the things that God wants to give you. Thank you. Fight for the Holy Ghost. Fight for his presence in your life. Fight for his. Fight. You got to fight. Because it's in your mouth. Jesus.